Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to read along with me in your Bible, the message today is going to come from Ephesians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I want to give you the title of this message. It's the question, why would God forgive me? Why would God forgive me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why would God forgive me? Well, look with me at Ephesians 4, verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." One man said many years ago that three things ought to characterize our preaching. Every man who stands up in a pulpit, three things ought to characterize his preaching. Number one, knowledge. Knowledge. A man ought to know who he is preaching. A man ought to know what he is preaching. He ought to know what he is preaching. I hear some stand up in pulpits, and it is clear that they have no idea who they are preaching or what they are preaching. They have no idea what they believe. They have no idea what this word says. I'm not trying to be critical of other men. I'm just warning you and warning myself. Let's be very wary of who we listen to. A man must know who and what he's preaching. The Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." I know whom. John said, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." We've seen, we've heard. A man ought to know what this word says. A man ought to know what this word says. So knowledge, that's the first thing. Sincerity is the second thing. Absolute sincerity. A fearful, honest sincerity. Romans 1 verse 9 says, "God is my witness." Think about that. God is my witness. God is witnessing. God is witnessing what men are declaring in His name. And He is going to hold those who lie on Him accountable. That's such a fearful thing to me. I take that so seriously. He is going to hold those who lie on Him accountable. Every man who stands up in the name of God is going to have to give an account. Every man. So our preaching must be with knowledge, and it must be with sincerity. Now, the third thing that should characterize it is simplicity. Absolute simplicity. The Apostle Paul said, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." When a man stands on God's behalf, declaring what God has written in His Word, the most simple mind listening ought to be able to understand what he's saying. The most simple mind listening. Our Lord Himself said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Babes. He said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. He hid these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them unto babes. So those three things ought to stand out when a man stands up to preach. Knowledge, sincerity, and simplicity. Now again, the title of this message is, Why Would God Forgive Me? Why would God forgive me? Three words in the verse that we just read answer that question. They answer it with all knowledge. They answer it with all sincerity and all simplicity. The end of verse 32 says, For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Those three words are the foundation of the entire gospel. For Christ's sake. That's it. That is it. For Christ's sake. It is the beginning, it is the middle, and it is the end of the gospel message. For Christ's sake, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's the only reason for all of our forgiveness. It's the only reason. For Christ's sake. Also, those three words are the reason that we have the ability to approach God in prayer. It's the reason our words are not stopped at the ceiling. Men and women pray to God, and the only reason those words make it past the ceiling is because of Christ. He will hear us when we cry unto Him for Christ's sake. We ask our Father, our Heavenly Father, He said, when you pray, you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. He said, you ask all of those things for Christ's sake. For His sake, in His name. That's how we end our prayer. We pray these things and we pray for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name I pray, for His sake. Those three words, they are the key to understanding all the Scriptures. It's the key to understanding why every story in this book was written. Every word of every story. Why was that written? Why was that put in this book? For Christ's sake. That's the reason why. It's the key to understanding what the common thread is. Through the whole book, it's all for Christ's sake. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says, To Him give all the prophets witness. To Him give all the prophets witness. In Luke 24, He expounded to those two on the road to Emmaus, in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. That's what it says. All the Scriptures. The things concerning Himself. It's all about Him. All about Him. This is a hymn book. That's what this is. All about Him. Those three words, for Christ's sake, they are the key to understanding how a child of God can be totally free from the bondage of every law and commandment in this book. And yet, I mean, be totally free from every law, every commandment, and yet have a heart to fulfill every word. Desire to fulfill every word, even though He can't perfectly. Even though He knows that He cannot fulfill any word, He has a heart to. Why does He have a heart to? For Christ's sake. That's the reason why, for Christ's sake, because He loves Christ. It's because of what Christ has done for Him. It's because of His thanks. It's because of His adoration. For Christ's sake. Those three words, they are the only plea that a sinner has before the throne of God. That's the truth. That's the truth. Those three words are the only plea that a sinner has before the throne of God. If we hear anything today, let's hear this. If any of us are taken from this world today or tonight, every soul has a day. It is appointed unto man once to die. Our days are numbered. I have an appointed day. You have an appointed day. And if any of us, whenever our appointed time is, if that time comes and we find ourselves standing before the throne of God, if the question is asked to us, if this question is asked to you, why should I allow you, a sinful rebel against God, to enter into my kingdom? Why should I allow you to come into my presence? Give me one reason why I should not cast you out into outer darkness right now. If that question is asked to you, plead this answer. For Christ's sake. Three words. For Christ's sake. Don't say, if that question comes, why should I let a sinner like you enter into this place? Don't say, oh, I'm not a sinner. No, you're mistaken. I'm not a sinner at all. Don't say that. His response will be, so you're calling me a liar? Are you calling me a liar? I want you to look at something with me in 1 John chapter 1. It says in 1 John 1 verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Pleading, I am not a sinner, that is a straight ticket to destruction. And that's the honest truth. That is a straight ticket to destruction. So don't plead that. If we find ourselves having to answer the question, what right do you have to enter into my eternity? Let's not plead our works. Don't plead, I'm not a sinner, and don't plead our works. Don't plead anything that we've done. Let me show you something in Matthew 7. If you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 7, it says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of his Father? Here it is. Plead Christ. Plead Christ. Believe on Christ. Cast your all on Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. This is my beloved Son, the Father said. Hear him. That's what he said. The Lord Jesus Christ said, this is the will of him that sent me. This is the will of my Father. That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he said right here in Matthew 7, not everyone that says to me, I'm ready to come in, is going to be allowed to come in. Just because a person says that, just because a person's ready for that, that doesn't mean he's going to be accepted in. Verse 22 right here says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want to let you in on this. Being a preacher will do nothing for a man. He gets no brownie points for that. None. None. You do not get a ticket in just because you're a preacher. You do not. It would shock all of us. It would shock you and me both. It would shock all of us to know how many preachers are turned away and cast into outer darkness. It would shock you. I know that's shocking to hear. Believe me, I know. But our Lord said right here, that's exactly what he's going to do. They said, but we prophesied in your name. We preached in your name. And he said, I'm going to tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me. If a man's plea is, wait a minute, but I'm a preacher, it's a straight ticket to destruction. That is a straight ticket to destruction. You see these guys on TV healing people. They're on TV healing people. They're, you know, hitting people and people are laying out and all these crazy things are happening. That will do nothing for them eternally. That does nothing for them. If their plea is, but didn't you see all these wonderful, miraculous works that I did in your name? Didn't you see all these miracles that we performed in your name? If that's their plea, then that is a straight ticket to destruction. If our plea is, well, no, I'm not perfect. No, I know I'm not perfect. I've sinned a little. And no, I didn't do any great works for God, and I didn't do any great works for the sick, and I didn't really do any great works for those in need. But somehow there's just an inner goodness in me. I just believe that there's something good in here. I never gave anybody any trouble, and I tried to just be a peaceful, law-abiding citizen. I just tried to live my life that way. If that's our plea, that is a straight ticket to destruction. If that is going to be our plea, it is destruction. Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses, all of our good deeds, all of our good works, everything in us that we believe is good, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's eyes. The only plea, and I'm going to say it again, if we hear anything today, hear this. The only plea that we have before the throne of God is for Christ's sake. That's all we have. That's all we have. When that question comes, give me one good reason why I should not destroy you right now. Here's the answer. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Lord, please don't destroy me. For Christ's sake. That publican in the temple, he smote upon his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Be merciful to me. What he was pleading was for Christ's sake. Mercy for Christ's sake. And he found mercy. He did. God granted him mercy. God grants mercy to every sinner that pleads for Christ's sake. That's the truth. God grants mercy to every sinner that pleads for Christ's sake. Now, let me see if I can explain what that means. Explain why God will show mercy for Christ's sake. Number one, God will show mercy to a sinner when a sinner pleads for Christ's sake because of the glory and the honor and the majesty of the person of Christ. He'll do it because of the glory of the person of Christ. God will show mercy for Christ's sake because of who he is. Who he is. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. But this is God manifest in the flesh. That's what he said. This is the everlasting God, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Who this person is. Hebrews 1 says, Christ is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, who is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. And the right hand does not mean that he's seated on a throne next to his father. The right hand means the place of honor. He is seated in the place of honor. Five verses after that in Hebrews 1, it says, God the Father said to God the Son, Thy throne, O God. It's your throne. Who is he? He's the King. He's the King. Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. God will have mercy because of who he is, the glory of his person. I knew a man years ago, many, many years ago, and he was in the military. He was a decorated soldier. He was Special Forces. And there was an occasion where he was at a dinner where the President and First Lady were there. And he had his picture taken with the First Lady. And then sometime after that, he was on a mission. And his whole team became captured. They became hostages. And the ones who captured them were trying to negotiate with America to get some things that they wanted, and they were one by one killing the hostages. And it came to his turn to be killed, and he convinced them to grab his phone because he had a picture on his phone of him and the First Lady. And I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know if they thought that he was extra special to the president and maybe they could get more out of him, but they did not kill him. They spared his life. And it was because of who he pleaded. He did not say, now wait a minute, you can't do this. I'm a decorated soldier. I've completed so many missions. He didn't plead that. He did not plead, you can't do this. I'm a good person. I'm a kind person. He didn't plead that. He pled a person. It was who he pled. And that's how it is when we plead Christ. We plead the glory of his office. God will show mercy because of who he is. He will show mercy for Christ's sake, for his beloved's sake. The sweetest name the Father knows, his beloved. God will show mercy to us for Christ's sake because of who he is, our relationship to him, and his relationship to the Father. And God will show mercy to us for Christ's sake because of what he has done for his people. Who he is and what he has done. If you look with me at John chapter 17, it says in John 17 verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. This is Christ speaking to his Father. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I finished the work. What was the work? What was the work the Father gave him to do? Over in Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He poured out his soul unto death. That's what he did. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? He did it because his Father laid on him all the iniquity of his people. He bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. Our chastisement was laid on him. Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, he opened not his mouth. He fulfilled all righteousness for us. And he purged all sin from us in the shedding of his blood. He did that because the Father laid the work on him. He did that because the Father said, you must accomplish what they cannot do for themselves. God the Father says to every soul that is covered in the blood of his Son, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I will not destroy you for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. I will not destroy you because I destroyed him for you. That's why. Now, the sincere word that I would like to leave us with is back in our text. If you look one more time at Ephesians 4, it says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. May God give us that same heart of forgiveness and kindness and tenderness toward each other that Christ had for us. May God put that same spirit in us. And may God give us a heart to say, I forgive you because he forgave me. All because of Christ. I did not deserve it. I was not owed it. But Christ gave himself for my sin. And in his blood, through his work, by his death, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven in the blood of the Lamb. For that reason, may God put that same forgiveness in us for each other. For Christ's sake, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Until next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.